What's up, brother? Special teams, special plays, special players. Why don't you read a book, you fucking pussy? Sorry for cursing. Welcome back to the fucking show, everybody. Sorry we're not exactly on the quote-unquote schedule that we had decided on at the beginning of the year, but we're working on a really special episode that we're going to have here in a couple weeks. Was originally planned for today, April, what is it, the 25th or the 26th, one of the two. But the guest had an emergency come up, had to go out of state, understandable, so we rescheduled that for a couple weeks from now, but you guys will really, really enjoy that. We're really excited about it. Big opportunity for us, so looking forward to that interview that we'll be bringing you here in the coming weeks. So it's been a while. Hope everybody has had a good spring so far. Boys, let's just kind of go through what's been happening the past couple weeks. First off, I'm gonna go first, okay? So I've had a fucking hellacious last month. All right, so I'm gonna go quicker, and I'm not woe is me here, but I wake up one day and I feel like I got something in my eye, and I'm like, what the fuck? I thought it was an eyelash. Wasn't an eyelash. I'm like, I don't know what it is. Maybe I just need a new contact. Whatever. So it bugged me all fucking day long. And I wake up the next day and it's worse, and it's bugging the shit out of me. It just feels like there's something on my eye. So I go to the fucking eye doctor, and turns out I have an ulcer on my eye. An ulcer
sounds
on
yummy.
My eye, which I guess is not that uncommon, but like the old lady's mom had one before. She had one on the outside of her eye and on the inside. Mine was just on the outside, like on my cornea, like right around the iris, like where my color is. And so I haven't worn a left contact for over a month now, because I'm just now finishing up like the medicated eye drops to get that healed up. Like, I guess it's like legit. Like if it goes ignored, you'll go blind. Like your whole fucking eye will cap over. And so that sucked. So now I'm so used to only wearing one contact that when I go to put my other one in,
it's Did you get headaches at the beginning?
No, but the problem was, like, I was fine if I was driving or doing something else, but the second that I would, like, look at a TV screen or a computer screen and try to focus, bro, I'd see two.
Oh, yeah.
So that took me a while. I wore my glasses a lot, but I can't stand wearing my fucking glasses. I just don't. I haven't worn glasses since I was, like, 11 years old. So there was that. And then I had, this is, like, 3 days later, I had a dermatologist appointment because I, you know, like to go. I got a lot of moles, so I just go get checked out. And my dermatologist is like, okay, well, there's one on your ear and one on your stomach that I don't like, so I'm going to go ahead and cut them off and send them out to get tested. I'm like, oh, great. And I don't know if anybody sitting out there has ever had a mole removed, but like to get tested for melanoma or, you know, any kind of carcinoma, skin cancer, they literally carve that bitch out of you. Carve it the fuck out of you with a flexible razor that literally just creates a crater in your skin.
That's metal as fuck.
The razor is metal, is indeed. Damn. It is metal as fuck. So they fucking stick needles in you and numb you up, and then they carve this thing out of you. And bro, I don't know if you ever cut your ear before, but that motherfucker bleeds like a stuck hog.
It's annoying too. I've done it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, now it's all like scabbed over and it doesn't bother me at all anymore. But like for the first 2 weeks, I couldn't wear headphones. I couldn't sleep on my left side because my ear was all fucked up. And now they're just both like scabs and they're taking forever to heal. Thankfully, they came back benign, you know, no melanoma or anything like that. But fuck, Jesus Christ, a fucking ulcer on my eye, getting my fucking shit all cut up. Other than that, it's been great.
Hey, Doc, I need you to cut my moles off.
Yeah, I need you to take some shit off for me, okay? any big life updates before we hop into the music? Anything bad, good?
I've had a lot going on.
Just, I mean, you quit your job.
Yeah,
so
I quit my job.
That's metal as fuck.
That is absolutely
look,
metal
they
as
said,
that's completely metal as fuck.
They literally told me in a meeting that I needed to conform.
That's not a metal as fuck
like,
term.
Yeah, I don't.
That's like
I don't
Hitler-esque.
Do that.
Yeah, that's not a yeah, dictator-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
Do what I say, or we'll fire you or kill you in Hitler's terms. But yeah.
Yeah. So it was basically a lot of that. So I got the fuck out of there.
Yep.
And which is fine. I was planning on doing it anyway, but like after a few weeks, so it just kind of came a little early. And then,
I mean, I feel like we're all pretty used to things coming early.
Yeah, especially.
That's the name of my fucking game, so, baby.
I got two kids to prove it.
You know, you gotta yeah, fuck trophies. Yeah,
but
the dick is in. I mean, the pick. The yeah,
what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what stuff?
Mm-hmm. and when you roll it, stuff will come out.
Hey, is that chair in the way of anything? I just seen how it was spoken out.
It might be. You might want to push it in, Tyler.
I'll
I can get to it.
But yeah, so you quit your job, but for good reason, obviously. Yeah, you've been talking about it for a while, and you got other things coming up too. So,
and I will say this to the listeners: if you have a job, or if you just have something that you feel is kind of weighing on you, you really don't realize how much it's weighing on you until you get the motherfucker off of you.
Right.
I thought the cord was on this side the first time, so I was like, wait a second.
It's been a minute. We got to retrain ourselves how to put fucking headphones on and shit.
But, no, yeah, man. But yeah, with that, like, I've been sleeping better at night. I go through my days. I don't stress about shit all fucking day. I'm able to work through massive to-do lists each day. I'm getting so much shit done. And not only am I getting the shit done, but I'm, like, efficient, right? Because I don't have all this bullshit clogging up my mind, having me, like, space out momentarily while I'm, like, in the middle of cleaning, doing this, doing that. And then I'm, like, stuck up in my head for a moment, like, staring at the fucking ceiling, like, fuck, I hate my life. But you know,
I've been there,
man. I don't
have
that shit.
I've been there with a job that just, excuse me, keeps you up at night. And, bro, that shit ain't worth it.
No, it's not.
I took a big pay cut and a step down. The job that I was working before where I'm at now, I was only there for 6 months, but it was just something that became available to me. I was driving a truck. That's all. I went from being a district sales manager for a company making, you know, decent money, not what I make now, but decent money for the time, being single and no kids. Fucking miserable, bro. I was completely miserable. Mm-hmm. And I left it to go to what I knew was a temporary gig, hourly pay, to look for something permanent, because that's how fucking miserable I was. Not doing it. Well, Dan, I won't do it again. Now, I've been where I'm at 3 years now, and 3 years in July, and love it. But I won't ever put myself in that position again. That ain't. Especially when you have kids, bro. Man. If you're taking that shit home, that's in front of your wife, in front of your kids. It is not worth it.
I would bring so much frustration home and then just be so easy to snap mm-hmm. on, you know, the kids and stuff. Now, we just, like, fuck, man, we just hang out.
Right.
And, like, enjoy the time. I'm like, fuck, I haven't been able to do that in a while.
Right.
Fuck, I've been talking on this show almost since it started about, you know, being unhappy and, you know, just fucking dealing with people who don't want to show respect but expect it all
in their direction. Yep.
It's like, fuck you.
Yeah, you gotta earn that shit. Respect's earned. And here's the thing that I've always believed in. Trust me, folks, hang on, we'll get to the music, but you know, we're all about life lessons here. My whole thing about, and I know this was a generational thing, you know, before us and our generation too, was you're basically trained to be a slave to your job, and you owe everything to your employer, and you of this. Bro, that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, well, you know, if you're going to quit, you got to give a 2-week notice. Are they going to give you a 2-week notice when they fire your ass?
Nope.
Because I don't think that's ever been a thing. You don't own me.
It's a doggy dog world.
I literally owe an employer my wage. That's it.
Correct. You owe them your wage. And that might sound like, oh, these fucking millennials, they're whatever. No, man. Like, you can't let a company. It's just like letting a significant other treat you like shit, or drag you through the mud, or be a slave, or anything like that.
You devalue yourself when you do something,
bro,
like that.
And like the approach that I've always taken over the past couple years is so. And this is going to sound arrogant. I don't mean for it to sound that way at all. But I've got a pretty impressive resume. You know, I went to school. You know, I've worked some really good jobs. I'm in a really good position now, so recruiters hound me like crazy. Like crazy. My LinkedIn is every day.
It's bussing.
Somebody's wanting to interview me for a position. And the best advice that I've ever been given in my life when it comes to professional career-oriented stuff is never turn down an opportunity to hear an opportunity. I'll listen to anybody that wants to talk to me about a job, offer me a job. I'll listen to anybody. I'm always up front. I'm extremely happy where I'm at. I am not planning to leave, but I will always listen. I'm always open to listen. Okay, well, we'd like to set you up for an interview. Okay, sounds great. Sure. But I'm interviewing you.
Yes.
Yep. You want me.
Yep.
I don't want or need
not
you.
Not as of now, at least.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them, like, how much money is it? Which, don't make a job choice strictly off money, ever.
No.
That's a terrible move. I have turned down double my salary 3 times in the last 6 months because I know that I would go there and be miserable. I would be a number in a corporate world that I don't want to be in. But when I talk to these people, man, I'm interviewing them. Like, if you are reaching out to me and wanting to talk to me about coming to work for you, you ain't interviewing me. I'm interviewing you. The employer might view it the other way around, but I'll be the first one to say no. So I've always, like you said, never devalue yourself. And I'm proud of you for
it's a long time coming.
For putting yourself first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of you for doing that. So
yeah, I didn't really give you the full story, but it was like an hour and a half long meeting. And it was
of you telling them you're done?
No. Like, I can get into the particulars, but my boss told me he was going to do something for me and then fucking reneged on it because the regional manager was in, and then him, the regional manager, and the new assistant sales manager were sitting down with me in a room trying to tell me I needed to conform and they like me and they want to keep me around, but I got to do X, Y, Z. And I was like, nah, dude, fuck this. This is dumb.
You just told them right then and there, like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah, we spent an hour of me addressing some of my concerns with them and all of that. And then another 30 minutes of them negotiating with me, trying to find a middle ground. And I was like, yeah, your middle ground and my middle ground are not the same.
Correct.
So, bye.
Yeah. No, man, it ain't worth it. And if you can't get an employer to meet you halfway, because I'm sure you weren't sitting in there demanding anything. It was just, hey, here's some things that I'm unhappy with, or I feel that are unfair, that, you know, is not helping me be successful at this job, and they're still not willing to come meet you somewhere in the middle there. Oh, man, you're never going to get anywhere with that. And that's, I have a gigantic problem with corporate America, and I never want to work in it again. I work for a privately owned company. I'd like to keep it that way.
Yep.
Someday, some company is going to come along and buy my company out, and then I'll be on to the next one.
Yep.
I'll be on to the next small company. It always does, especially in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be on to the next small privately owned company. If it's 10 years, great. If it's 5 years, whatever. But I won't do it. I watched my dad do it for 25 fucking years. Yep. Ain't doing it.
That's where I want to go, is the smaller companies.
And then not even necessarily a startup, right? But just a company that's 3-4 years into
something organic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the company that I had worked for, you know, Preston still works for, when we first started was pretty decent. And they were just starting the branch that we work at, or I did work at. And at first it wasn't that bad. I mean, there was growing pains.
Sure.
And we were kind of a startup, but it was like, I understand that there's problems now.
Yeah.
But that was cool to me. I wanted to be in there, the ground floor, building this motherfucker up and get that kind of experience. But now I just want to go to something small. You know, I'm going to school to, you know, for a management degree.
Finish your master's.
Yeah. Yep.
Get your master's.
Yep. And hopefully be able to use that to get into a higher level position in smaller companies. And
yep. And like I'm doing the same thing. I told you before the show that I'm starting the process right now of going back to get my master's too.
So by the time your company does sell out, you're ready to go.
Well, and then the thing is, the cool thing about agriculture is that for certain, you know, agricultural degrees, I only have to do another 2 years to get my doctorate. So 4 more years and I can have a doctorate degree. Mm. Then I can do anything, literally anything I want.
You can go teach motherfuckers.
Yes.
Correct. Which I think you can after Masters, can't you?
I really fucking enjoy. Yeah, you can do it after Masters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoy. And someday, and you know, I'm fortunate enough, I've talked about this, my dad is my boss. I've told him that I want to be in a management role someday. I really fucking enjoy like having interns and teaching the next generation of farmers and agriculturalists and shaping and molding those people. I've got somebody that wasn't even an intern to me, but I took on a ride along for 2 days that she still calls me for like advice and different things like that to this day. And that was, you know, a year ago. So like I made that kind of impression on a young person in agriculture in 2 days. I know that I can make a difference. And that shit is cool to me, which you guys are probably sitting there thinking, this fucking asshole don't want
to. But no, I do. He's a dick.
But I really do enjoy it because they're intelligent people. I fucking hate stupid people or lazy people.
Oh yeah.
Most people in my profession that are good and that make it, they have drive, they have initiative, they want to learn, they're hardworking, they're not cutting corners, they're asking questions, they're not just guessing. That's what's great about where I'm at. It's not Joe Blow down the street working a 9-to-5 and going home. It's somebody that wants to get better and wants to make an impact on somebody. And that's what I like being a part of.
Huge. Oh, absolutely. So. And that's just where, you know, sometimes I talk about I want to be a manager, I want to be in a leadership position. And people think that, you know, when someone young like us says something like that, oh, he just wants to be a boss. He doesn't want to have to work. He just wants to tell people what to do.
It's chances like, no. are this person saying that's probably 50 or older.
Right. And me.
And knows they're on their way out because people want people between the age of 25 and 35 for those roles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And for me, it's I've always felt like a better coach than a player for literally everything that I do. Like music. I'm not a star player, but I could teach anyone the basics of music.
Yeah.
Like I've just always felt like that, and the same thing for like the sales shit that we did. I was never going to be a star salesman. I told every employer that hired me, I'm not going to be your star salesman. But when you have new guys and you want to groom them and teach them and stuff like that, I can do that.
Yeah,
I can do that well.
So Preston, what's new with you, man? School.
School. Yeah. Trucking along with school. Finished my first semester. Well, I do next week, but it's pretty much finished. Little bits of work here and there. Been staying as far away from it as I can. Focus on school.
Sounds like every American ever.
Yep. Yep. Man, what else is new? I'll be 29 this weekend.
Yep.
I'm scared to death.
What
of
day
30.
Is your birthday?
Sunday.
Sunday?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Want to go golfing?
We already have a tee time set up down in Cincinnati.
Oh, you're going to Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Meeting some dudes from
work.
Work.
Yeah.
I have a golf old work. This
year. Old work for you.
I get to brag to all of them of my stress free life.
Yeah, yeah. Your freedom.
Yeah. My I forgot my brother's senior proms this weekend too. So
nice.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm in a little bit of a predicament right now where I may be able to speed up my timeline quicker than what I originally expected. So that's brought some anxiety my way and kind of some franticness, but also some excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of worked through it a little more yesterday, and I think it may be doable.
Same situation or has something changed?
Same situation. It would be less prereqs than I was thinking, like one less. And it feels like, which it's felt like it for a while, but it really feels like now's the time to take the leap off the cliff. So,
yeah.
Gotta
quit that job, motherfucker.
Well, yeah. There's some things that gotta be lined up, and I got shit to be paid on before I leave.
Yeah.
I got like $4,000 hanging out there.
I gave up some cash, man.
Yep. But no, I mean, that's it. I've been playing music when I can. Playing a little bit of golf. I'm simple. I'm being a dad. That's it.
No, yeah. Thank you. I forgot to mention, I want to shout her out because I'm very proud of her. But Cheyenne, my old lady got a big promotion at work. A $7.25 an hour raise. I'm very proud of her. She's definitely worthy of it, and she's been with this company for a long time, and they're finally starting to reward her for that. So I'm very excited for her, and not to mention an employee for their
loyalty.
Well, she is union, so she could just go bitch about stuff if they're not, but. She's not that person, but yeah, very proud of her. So our household income just took a nice big leap, and now she's like, I think it's time for a new car. And I'm like, now, to be fair, hers is almost paid off. Like, she only owes like $5,000 or $6,000 on it, and it's worth 20 something, I think, is what they've offered her on trade in. And she's like, I really want a new Kia Telluride. And, I was like, yeah, I'd like to have one of those too, but you know, we're also trying to buy a house too, so we're trying to keep priorities in check. But but anyways, sorry if we bored you with our life talk, but we're always trying to, you know, we try to be personal and make sure that you guys know that we're just normal people with normal problems like you. So, and that's part of the reason why we're here, because this is an escape and an outlet for that, and we hope that this show, listening to this show, is still an outlet for you. And I want to say a special shout out to Mr. Brad Dean, was listening to us all the way up in Alaska.
Oh, Brad.
So
what up, Brad?
Shout out to Brad for leaving some reviews and some stars and reaching out to us on social media. Appreciate you, my man. We always like to give shout outs to folks that interact with us. So let's get to the fucking show.
Well, shout out, Lil Scrappy. You mentioned problems. You don't want no problems.
Now listen here, little stanky booty.
Little stanky booty. Y'all didn't grow up. Hey, if you didn't listen to Lil Scrappy growing up, you didn't grow up right. No, not Scrappy Doo. Lil Scrappy.
Let me at him. All right. So, real quick, I do want to start with the Boys of Fall album that dropped today. I haven't had a chance to get all the
that
way through
it. That we weren't aware of, right? Until yesterday that we knew it was dropping.
Well, obviously they were dropping a couple singles. We kind of had to know that something was coming.
Yeah,
it came really fast. I didn't expect it that soon. I'm in love with it for one. This has been a band that I've been obsessed with for a long, long time, because they give me something different than what I normally listen to, and they bring something to the table that most of the other bands that I really listen to don't. So it's a great change of pace. Whoever said pop punk is dead, you can fuck off. And this new album, which is self-titled, I should add, reminds me so much of their debut album that made me fall in love with them, and I fucking love it. Tyler and I were in here jamming to it before the show. I'm not going to go, you know, real deep in it, but if you haven't checked out Boys of Fall and you're into pop punk, or I don't even know what else you really would call it. I mean, it's a blend of so many different things. Some
emo-ish vibes.
They scream. But it's a lot of really poppy, upbeat choruses and then shit that'll make you cry. It's great. So go check them out. Tyler, your thoughts on it so far and the short amount that we've listened to?
When he said distance.
Oh, yeah.
I felt that.
It's like that meme of the Lorax. I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. And for some fucking reason, they're speaking Vietnamese. you got PTSD. You heard Fortunate Son, bro. You had PTSD. Back to crying after the bar, listening at a distance. This shit hits you hard, man, doesn't it?
Sad boy shit.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, I mean, like you had mentioned, it feels a lot like their earlier stuff, their first album.
And he sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He sounds
so
amazing.
Good, man.
How he sings like that. You know, with his range and as well as his screams, shoo.
Yeah, very talented. Yeah. And there's so much. The thing is, look, maybe somebody that doesn't dissect music as much, you know, would listen to them and not hear all those underlying little licks that they put in so many of their songs. They're everywhere. You just got to listen for them. Little underlying solos and doodles and shit. Oh, yeah.
Tellies.
Pink Telly in the new one. But, yeah, it's. I think they're way deeper than most bands that try to do what they do. Like Fall Out Boy. I mean, they're obviously heavier than a band like Fall Out Boy. But you get what I'm saying. That kind of vein of pop punk music.
they have some songs that are straight up metalcore. Like if you listen to a couple songs off of their first album, it's really heavy. And then that song that you like off the new one,
Defamation.
Yeah, that song's heavy as fuck.
It is.
So they do a lot of different things, man. They have great acoustic songs that they just they do uncut versions of or unplugged versions of their songs, and they're just really talented. So.
Yep.
And then I know you haven't had a chance to listen all the way through, have you?
No, I listened all the way through today when I was in the car. I don't know that I focused in a ton on it. I didn't add as many songs as I expected that I would add.
Mm-hmm. And it's day one, too.
Yeah, it's albums grow on me.
Yep.
We know that by the conversation.
He's got to listen to it 18 yeah,
give
and
me,
a half
give
times.
Give me another 38 and a half times and I'll really feel it.
It'll That's be right. the greatest thing he ever heard.
Yes. Like every Periphery album ever. 6 months later, I fucking love it.
Oh my God. It's this like one a, solo. It's like made a, the whole album.
It's like a light bulb goes off and it's like, I finally understand it.
Yeah.
It's
be revealed. Yeah.
It's really good. It is the Boys of Fall that I know and love.
Yep.
My only gripe is what I did notice on this earlier today when I was driving is in some of the songs during the heavier parts, the mix to me was kind of dull. And if I could compare it to anything, you know how a while back about Bill Murray, the March Ahead stuff that we talked about. It's probably been a year or two when we really talked about it.
I listened to them.
We talked about the mix of it, that those heavier songs by the March Ahead, and we're like, well, he mixed it like a Bill Murray song, like an older Bill Murray song, and there's parts of it that don't have that punch or cut through the mix, even though they're purposely doing a heavy part where it just wasn't landing like I felt it should.
Yeah. Well, it's because they use like a similar guitar tone. On the March Ahead, but the March Ahead, the music was heavier.
It was heavier, yeah.
Than the Bill Murray stuff, but they mixed it very much the same, and so you didn't have the balls that you would expect from heavier guitar and stuff like that. But I kind of see where you're coming from. I didn't really feel that listening to it. I don't think, and I think to me, the reason being is, with that style of music, more of a pop punk thing.
Yeah, you don't want it to blast your drums out.
Or don't have guitars super up sharp. In the front, just a wall of them, and they're not like punching you in the face. You know, the guitars sit back a little bit. It's buttered up a little bit, so it's smoother. It's not, you know, you don't feel
you're
the
focused
attack
on the,
as
the
much
groove,
of each,
the groove
in
the song.
The song.
Yeah, and to That's clarify, I don't expect it to sound like modern metal or anything.
Sure.
But compared to some things they've done and some mixes they've had in the past, I felt like, at least on my first listen,
just a little muddy.
There was a little, and it wasn't even that it was dark by any means. It was just that there were parts when they were doing heavier for them parts, it didn't cut through or hit like I felt it has in the past.
I think the issue is that one of the greatest albums of all time came out recently, and we've just been
hold on. Before we get to that, there's an EP we got to talk about.
I
just want to say, so there's that going on, and so you're kind of going to Boys of Fall, and it's not giving you that. It's like,
okay. So we'll talk about all that stuff here in just a second. I do want to do a little bit of actual news there on the music front. So as everybody probably has heard by now, Dance Gavin Dance fired Telly.
I heard that, but I didn't hear why.
I have no idea why.
Well, apparently he had like some... I don't know, so I don't want to say it and sound like, you know, but it was some, I heard there was some like sexual harassment stuff. I don't, again,
that,
folks,
yeah, I remember word about that coming out a couple years ago or something.
So I don't know the details. I don't know anything about it. I won't pretend to know. But he gone.
Yep.
So now they have the they can do the funniest thing of all time and bring Johnny Craig back. Because everybody, not everybody, let me rephrase that. The metal people that tweet lists of people that they should cancel because they're transphobic or something hate Johnny Craig. Just like the same people that hate Ronnie Radke, they hate Johnny Craig. So, but all the Dance Gavin Dance fans are like, bring Johnny Craig back. He commented on their Instagram posts like, you up, guys? he probably wants to come back. I think they should bring him back. I love Johnny Craig's voice. He's amazing on everything he's ever been on. Obviously, Slaves. I mean, he was the former vocalist of Slaves, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm all for that.
Holy fuck, we got Johnny Craig and Johnny Frank out there, man. What the fuck?
That's amazing. Crazy time to be alive.
Yeah, yeah.
So fucking, we got Tractor Corps going on right now, fucking hey. So, let's go.
So I'm curious to see what Dance Gavin Dance does there, because you fire one quote unquote scumbag, just bring another one in.
Well, and then what we haven't even talked about before is the bassist died a year ago or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if. What it was in relation to, but I think it was one of those things that was kind of kept quiet.
So yeah, I don't know.
Normally when it's kept quiet, we know what it is.
Drugs or suicide.
Yeah.
But what it is. Same thing with Ollie from All the Remains, and it's...
We still don't know with Ryan, you know. Still have no clue.
I assume that it was suicide.
I don't know.
When it's kept quiet, that's what it is. I mean, that's every fucking time. Yeah, this is country music, so you guys would have no point of reference, but the Judds, Winona Judd and her mom, you know, her mom died. And nobody talked about it forever. Turns out she killed herself. Mm. I mean, it's just when they don't say what it is, they OD'd or they shot, you know, killed themselves. And it's terrible, but we can always assume that's what it is.
Yep.
So, but anyway, so what do you want to talk about first?
The EP or the thing? I want to throw something in on that. And it just made me think of a podcast Preston had sent me.
Love podcasts.
Where I don't know if the guy was like a GM at a sports team or something like that, but he was talking about why so many like NFL players or NBA players, whatever, are like unhappy.
One just shot himself today.
Yeah, yeah.
One just killed himself today.
Oh, shit.
I can't think of his name. I just saw it on Twitter right before we started recording. He's like 28 years old.
But he's...
Played for the Giants.
But he kind of frames this up in a sense of, you know, from the time you're a little kid and like you dream of that. And so you work your whole life to get there. And then when you get there, you realize that... Like this isn't bringing you any happiness.
That you thought it was.
Yeah, it's not the pinnacle that you thought it was going to be, and you've basically spent all your life to reach this goal that you thought was going to be your happiness. And there's so many things that go into happiness outside of this success. And so I wonder if you know a lot of musicians get there because you hear about it where musicians get to this. High status level and they're like I fucking hate this.
Yeah. And also like when it ends. So
yeah, think of the PTSD that comes even the wrong term or condition.
That CTE and stuff like that. There's so many athletes, Junior Seau, that dude from the Chiefs that went nuts, you know, shot his girlfriend and shot himself and you see it all the time, but coaches too. Bobby Bowden at Florida. When Bobby Bowden finally retired, when they kind of forced him out, basically, not like in a crazy negative way, but when he was done, he fucking died. It was like, Bo Bishop talks about it all the time. Bobby said in interviews, like, well, what am I going to do when I retire? All I have to look forward to is death. Football is my life. That's all I know. That's what, like Nick Saban, like, I'm glad he's going to be on College Game Day now because he's coached his whole life, 70-some years old. He's coached his whole life. What
he's going to feel lost.
What else does he know?
And that's, you know, you could, especially for athletes, but you could probably relate it to military, where when you're in such an adrenaline rush situation or lifestyle every day, you're busting your balls on your craft and you're playing in these high stakes games year after year, month after month. And when that shit's over and you try to go back to, I'm you just go guessing.
Golf or fish.
Yeah, go to back to reality or regular
normal
life.
People yes, reality.
There's got to be a void there. And honestly, this isn't to relate, but I think about it, and I think the reason I enjoy golf so much is because it's helped me carry on my competitive spirit.
Yeah.
Because I don't get to play sports anymore like I used to, and that's all the fuck I did when I was a kid was right. Play sports.
Yep.
Play sports and drink beer.
I mean, that was it. I'm missing that competitive edge type thing. I'm vicariously living through my brother right now in baseball. Yeah. You know, he's going to Purdue, and I hope that he continues his baseball career at Purdue. But it's tough because, like, you know, I miss coaching. I would love to coach, not as young as we did.
Yeah.
Like to coach kids that know the game and understand what's going on. I wouldn't mind coaching baseball. You know, I miss that competitive excellence because that's the same way as me, bro. From the time I was 4 years old, I was playing sports.
Yep.
And that's all I did. You know, baseball, football, that's it. That's all I did. So I miss that too. And when that is your career, music, sports,
the military,
whatever it is, when that's done and suddenly you're golfing or you're going fishing or you're whatever it is, you're like, what the fuck am I doing? What's my purpose? Why am I doing this?
Yep.
And it's like when all that greatness and that adrenaline rush and that striving for something is gone. Bro, why do you think like bands like Kiss that are in their 70s are still playing live music?
There's an adrenaline rush.
What are they've been doing this since they were fucking 19 years old.
Yep.
They've been doing it since the fucking 60s, and they're in good enough physical health to still do it. So they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Supposedly, this is their last tour, but
They've said that a few times.
Exactly.
They've said that multiple times. So they've been saying that since the early 2000s. That was 20 years ago.
They get back home off a tour, it's like, well, boys.
What are we going to do now? I want
to play some music.
Sitting in their gigantic ass.
I want to play a show.
Gene Simmons goes home and sits in his gigantic ass mansion and goes, I think I want to go play more music.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's, I get it. I mean, I can't say I get it because I've never done it.
I'm a normal guy's mansion to sit
Thank God I have the gym and I have golf that keeps things competitive for me.
I guess I do get my competitive fix from video games.
Yeah.
From like Call of Duty and Fortnite. I get my competitive fix from that.
Yep.
But I also get pissed off a lot at it. So, because I'm extremely competitive. But yeah, I get why musicians do that.
It's tough.
So, okay. What EP are you referring to?
Go on and give it to him.
There's a new EP out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Go on, let them have it.
And it is called Stereo Grief. And it is by our boys out of Louisville, Kentucky, Greyhaven.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's them so boys pretty. Are back at it.
All right, I'm going to go take a piss and I'm going to check the cameras.
Them boys are back at it and shoo-wee, they're balling. I'm pretty sure they've taken Every Time I Die's place since they broke up.
Oh, for sure. But the thing is, with that EP, is I'm a little concerned with the sound because...
I don't disagree.
You know, the Empty Black and what was the other one?
All Bright Beautiful World, something like that.
Those two albums
sonically
had
a
perfect sound, a perfect mix for that band. And then this little EP comes about. They signed with a new label, all this
Solid
kind of
State
stuff.
Records.
They changed
Will
their
Putney's,
sound up
Will
a little
Putney
bit.
Mix and mastered it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I
He's
think
a big
he,
name in the industry.
I big, think he kind of fucked it up trying to make them sound like everybody else.
Yeah, Will, you fucked it up, dude. The songs are fucking incredible.
Absolutely
Some of their
incredible.
Best. Some of their best. And
oh, what was the one that played earlier today?
Sick and Lavish, Inverse Self-Reaction.
Just
past material. Welcome Party.
I think it was Confined Collapse.
Confined Collapse.
That,
oh yeah.
that hit me just like a ton of bricks.
I like it when
while I was doing fucking drywall work on my ceilings, which, by the way, was a fucking humbling experience. But
drywall,
yeah,
drywall
doing mudding and stuff
ass.
on my ceilings for the last 3 days.
Nope, fuck that. Glad
my
you didn't call
shoulders
me.
Are fucked up.
I'd have told you that. Yeah, I'd have said the same thing. Nah, fam, my shoulder's fucked.
My
man.
L5, it's fused.
See, the way
I had a spinal fusion a week ago.
I fucked up my bussy.
You see the way my shoulder blade is set up?
I got a checking and a savings. Yeah, people born post, like, 2005 don't get that reference.
Nope. Yeah, they don't. Oh, but, shit. Yeah, that EP, and we had no idea it was coming. Or at least I had no
idea.
Well,
they dropped the single Welcome Party.
They dropped the single, and then
it
was like, oh,
before
shit.
That, we're
but it
like,
came
oh,
out
shit.
Right
yeah.
after.
Is it
yeah.
worth my time?
You know what? You might actually like the change in sound.
You so have to be open to it, or you're not going to like it. You have to be open to it.
Yeah.
They got it, like, their sound is different.
Okay.
On this EP. It sounds more like a modern, like, metal band.
Okay.
And it's
whereas,
not musically, it's just the sound. It's still Greyhaven. Yeah. Yes.
So okay. you might like their sound more with this than before. So okay. you might give
I'll
it a try.
I'll check it out.
Fair but enough. Yeah, oh. that was great.
Well, good.
Yeah, it's fucking fire. Memphis, other than the sound issues.
Memphis Mayfire just dropped a new single too, called Chaotic. I had pretty low expectations for it because I kind of felt like the direction they went was just not the Memphis I knew. But surprisingly, it's a really fun jam. It's fun. Yep. I don't really care for that piece in the breakdown where it sounds like the guitar's fucking a computer. But other than that, the riff's fun, a little muddy on the low end. But the verse, chorus, the vocals are really good. The whisper part you said was kind of gay.
Yeah, so the song was
Wage War.
The song was
not that bad. That's fucking atrocious.
Horrible.
That's horrible. I've never seen a band get flamed so bad by every one of their fans for that fucking shit. I don't even know what it's called. I heard it one time and I'm like, oh boy, that's not going to go over well.
It didn't.
It's probably called Gravity.
They already had one, Gravity 2.
Yeah. It's either that? Gravity or Monochrome yeah. these days. Everybody's writing a song about Monochrome now.
And don't even know what Monochrome means.
They don't even know what it means. I had to look it up because I didn't know what I've already forgot what it meant.
Fuck,
it
I don't, but Novelist made one of the greatest guitar solos I've ever heard in a song
yeah,
called
they did.
Monochrome.
They did. Mm. But no, it was fun. It was a fun song.
I like it. Yeah, I do.
Like you said, it's a good biking song.
Yep.
It's not like you're on a bike.
Yep.
But I guess we should address the...
And before we go to the album...
The elephant in the room that everybody's so excited to hear us talk about for the 10th time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray, as we know, dropped a new song, Empty Handed.
I'm a fucker drops a song every 2 weeks, I feel like.
He
does
drops
a lot of singles.
He does a lot of singles.
Or they do a lot of singles.
Oh, before we get to the great, let's get through the bad. Era's new album...
You know what's weird to
it's
me?
Okay.
I found pieces in that album where JT sounds the best he's ever sounded,
and the music doesn't match it.
Yes, the music is just—it's
okay.
Yes.
It's not great.
Yep.
You know their last album. I think we can all agree we probably overplayed.
Yep.
But when it first came out, it was really fucking good.
Yep.
I mean, we're jamming that shit. Probably just overplayed it. But. Yeah, the new album Cure, I think is what it's called.
Yep.
Not great. Just not.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm disappointed because it's not that it's a bad record. And a lot of people out there love it, and that's good. But for me, just kind of, I mean, I go back and listen to some of their other records, and I'm like, yeah, that's just better. It's just better.
Well, you know what else? You know what else sucked? And I only listened to it once, so it could grow on me. Maybe you only listened to it once. Epitaph by Make Them Suffer.
Yeah, not great. Nope. I listened to it a couple times, like two or three. Didn't like it. Don't like it.
Shit out a hard turd.
Yeah, not great. After Doom Switch, those were some fucking, what was the other one? Doom Switch and...
fuck me, you asked me too fast.
Tyler, what's that
Everybody
other single?
Everybody knows it. Ghost
of Me.
Ghost of Me, yeah.
So those two go fucking hard as shit. And they went a real different direction with Epitaph.
And it almost felt like we could, or at least I could see them going in a more electronic direction and maybe too much of it.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah.
That's what that was. When I heard that, I was like, all right, kick the bitch out.
Yeah.
And kick the fucking keyboard out.
Get mad again.
And get pissed again. So, yeah, not a fan of the new Make Them Suffer single.
Miles dropped a new single.
They dropped an album.
It's not.
Or no, it's not out yet. Sorry.
Yeah. Disassociative being.
That's good. Their album's going to be really good. Yep. But I think it's being overshadowed by what we're about to talk about.
Knocked Loose dropped.
They dropped
a couple. There's a couple that I actually enjoy. I was surprised.
Did you just listen to the instrumentals? First time I hear Brian Garris open his fucking suck hole, I want to start a pistol.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed it. Now, I don't find myself listening to it all the time.
All the Knock Loose fans are punching air right now, wishing they could beat my ass.
That's what they do with their shows. Hey,
that's all they do with their shows. You guys' accuracy is ass, so I ain't worried about you. You just stand in the middle of the pit and swing at nothing. Fuck off.
What else you got recently, Tyler?
So, I'll take it back for a second to Era. Because I've always had trouble
Post with Malone band. And Morgan Wallen collab coming. Fucking sweet. So from the snippets that we've all heard, I had some help. It ain't like I can make this kind of mess all by myself. Yeah, fucking jam. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't do that. But anyway,
yeah, those are like two of your probably most hated people on the planet.
I don't really hate Morgan Wallen. I don't care for country music. Post Malone, I'm like, dude, do fucking take a bath.
Songs ever. The cover he did,
Cover Me Up.
Cover Me Up. Oh, I love that fucking song. Sorry.
You also like Sunrise off the new album. You're my sunrise, you can come up.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you guys are saying.
Love Morgan Wallen.
Vibes, baby.
Keep getting arrested, bro.
Keep getting arrested.
For real.
Keep getting arrested.
We need more of that in this country.
We do.
He needs to go to prison so he can come out with a bomb-ass fucking album.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
So the Era thing.
The Era thing.
I've just always struggled with that band, and that album, when I listened through it, like there was the couple of songs where I could get into it, but fuck, dude, like they're done, like they're dead to me.
They fell off for me too.
And it's weird because like, and it's not all modern metal to me, but since the inception of the show, I've talked about it, but. A lot of these modern metal bands, to me, like the guitar tones get the guitar tunings, tones, all of it get deeper and muddier the further we. So many of them, and I'm like, dude, it doesn't punch me or fucking put a hole through my chest like it used to.
You know what does though?
Death is little more.
Yeah. Well, I think we're on episode 3 of just going. to this band, but we did it for Polaris for a long time, so at least we're talking about a different band, I guess. But
go ahead, I'll be right back.
Y'all need to grow a set of fucking nuts if you don't agree with us.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Every opinion you have other than ours on this topic is wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Get fucked. So, boundaries. All right. So the album's been out for two weeks. 3 weeks?
3 weeks to a month, I think.
Because it was getting ready to come out like a week or two after we dropped our last episode. So
it was March 1st, I thought, dropped.
We dropped an episode March 21st, and it wasn't out yet.
Maybe it was the last week.
April 1st or something. Or last week of March.
And I remember it being like something.
Well, our last episode was like March 21st, and it wasn't out yet.
Okay.
But so we haven't got to talk about the album yet. And obviously we anticipated it being a really, really, really good album based on the singles, but I didn't realize it was going to be the best metal album since 2020. I mean, all the people that are like, oh, what about Currents? What about Invent Animate? What about No. This Boundaries album is absolutely fucking absurd. I mean, Inhale the Grief is
one of the best metal songs in the last 5 to 8 years.
The album is one of the best albums in the last 5 years, but Inhale the Grief itself is Scars on a Soul is absurd. I love Face the Blade.
Darkness Shared.
Hate into Rage. All, yeah. I mean, it's Darkness Shared gives you a little bit of everything. I think that Boundaries awakened something in me that I didn't even know was in there, and they're the best band on the planet right now to me. You said that before the show.
Yep.
There's
nobody doing it better to me right now.
There is just something that they do for me that there is not another band, including Polaris, can do. It is fucking absurd. And I like I said, oh, dude. Thank you. Bro, I haven't listened to music in a week because I've just been really heavy on podcasts lately.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was coming over here, I was like, well, I suppose we're going to talk about music. I should probably listen to some music. And the only thing that sounded good to me to listen to at that point in time was that album. And it's been out for a month. I mean, that's just, I'm still ripping because
that's
that
what
shit.
You do. You turn on Boundaries. That's just it.
I saw a guy on TikTok that we follow each other and we've chatted before. He did a TikTok in the same Boundary shirt that I have, and I'm like, yeah, it's spreading. The fever is spreading.
Oh,
he's from Canada.
Yeah.
So it's like, this shit's spreading.
I'm on YouTube, and all the reactors that I enjoy watching, all the people that talk about metal music, they finally get it now.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay.
Help me make sense of reaction videos.
You know what? It's weird to me because... For the longest it's done well, but for the longest time, I didn't understand.
Too much pausing, and I just want to hear the fucking song. Which, in a way, is hypocritical of me because this is a reaction, but we're just giving context to something. We're not playing the song in the background.
Yeah, we're giving our thoughts about it. We're not giving our thoughts of it
as it's happening,
as it's playing. Like,
yeah, I think what it is. For me, at least, when I'm watching it, as long as the person doing it is doing a good job and they're not pausing it every 10 seconds, they're letting it play through, they're really analyzing it, it's really cool to see them feel similar or the exact same way I did when I heard it.
Kind of like showing favorite song to a friend.
That's what it is.
I can get that. The reason I ask is anytime I'm seeing these or hearing of them, I think of these dumbass YouTube videos that my kids watch where it's these freaking twats that make way more money than I do just by being fucking morons sitting there just hitting play on a bunch of random videos and they're talking about the videos. And they're not even that funny when they're talking about it.
Again, this is dumb. It's kind of hypocritical of me again to say that because I watch streamers. Like video game streamers,
mm-hmm.
and they make reaction videos, and I watch mm-hmm. them. But it's because they're funny. They're mm-hmm. funny. But I mean, I watch streams every day when I'm doing computer work. Like they actually help me focus. Like I'm watching Tim the Tap Man, Dr. Disrespect, you know, Nick Merckx, whoever it might be. And I enjoy that kind of content. And I go, I don't understand how somebody just sit there and watch somebody play video games. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm weird, I guess. I just, it's something I enjoy.
I sit down and play guitar for an hour.
at one point when, in high school, when Sean and Robbie were kind of in a place during Sean's senior year, like we would always be at Sean's house hanging out and whatnot. I remember there were times because I never really enjoyed playing video games that much, but at the time there were a few video games coming out that were almost like watching a fucking movie as someone was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd have this big ass stereo system. We'd be under the influence of herbal remedies, and I'd just be sitting there like just melting in a seat while he's playing these fucking scary video games. And it was like watching a scary movie. So mm-hmm. like being there in the moment. Like, I could see why someone would want to watch video games, you know, someone play video games, but, like, through YouTube, it just doesn't have the same feel. And so I get kind of confused about some of these things, but I know it's a big deal. A lot of people are, you know, doing reactions to music or funny videos or video games or whatever. And then I think to, like, what we do, and I'm like, fuck, man, there's only so many things in my vocabulary that I can say about music. I find myself saying some of the same things about
or we make up Boundaries terms like as, vocal.
Yeah, we just had to make up that term words.
Some more bonkle.
we had to start making up words to have something different to say. But yeah, like I'm getting to the point where I don't even have much to say about these reactions to new music and stuff because
all I hear is probably a mistake.
Back 2 inches.
Probably a mistake on my part of going, hey, can I get a little more Preston in my headphones? Yeah. Now I hear him, his fucking cells multiplying. That one just said, hey, can I get a little more bonkle? That's
why I normally don't like chewing big pieces of gum.
We're not fast enough on this bonkle. What's up, brother? Can I get a little more?
Yeah, give me some more snarl, please.
Yeah. I don't know. That we kind of went down an unnecessary tangent because I was just kind of interested in that. But the boundaries thing, I am glad to see more people.
My gum got CTE, bro. Catch the energy.
Catch his fucking energy.
Put that shit on. Tyler still has no point of reference on what we're talking about. Does anybody get the sketch reference? I know you do, probably. But I you're probably going, why the fuck is he sounding like a...
Other than a Texans fan.
He's a streamer, yeah. What's up, brother? Are we clipping? My bad, bro. Am I getting too close to the Mickey, Clippity, Mickey, Mickey, clip, Mickey, Mickey, Mickey?
Dickity dick. It's because that new shit's so sensitive.
It's like when you go to fucking Raising Cane's. Click, 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 clackily, click, clackily, cluck. This is what the fuck I want. Or hot chicken, what combo are you picking? Click, clackily, cluck. This is what the fuck I want. He say some dumbass shit like that to me.
Love chicken.
He said love chicken. Oh God. But I mean, yeah, Tyler, I know that you feel the same way about the Boundaries album, that it's one of the best in the past however many years, and album of the year right now, and boy, I don't know what's gonna top it.
Yeah, for me, I think I do like Johnny Booth more than I do Boundaries. But that Boundaries album is just perfect from start to finish. You gave me this weird ass look and I stand by what I say.
You gotta back that up, homie. You gotta give me some seasoning on that bitch. I don't know what the fuck you...
Personal preference,
look,
right?
Look, it is definitely personal preference. For me, Johnny Booth has more groove, more swag almost.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a certain style about them that you don't get from Boundaries.
They got a little more bonkle.
Something like...
No, Boundaries so got all the fucking bonkle on those guitars.
Sound wise, I think they're both great, but just style wise, I think Johnny Booth has, you know, I relate with their style a little bit more than I do Boundaries.
Okay.
Boundaries does things that, you know, their tempo changes and their meter changes and stuff are unlike anybody else out there right now. In the
they actually do tempo changes correct, unlike fucking Periphery. So,
well, I don't think like Periphery's doing it incorrectly or anything, but
no, they are.
Boundaries is using it in a way to add creativity to the song structure that other bands aren't using that tool of music to do.
I just noticed you've had your feet out this whole
the whole time, bro.
This whole time. You've had your fucking dogs out, bro.
I'm look, I you got, I'm advertising, hey, for of that, my OnlyFans.
You got tingers, my... bro. Like, you got tingers, homie. Them motherfuckers.
What the hell's a tinger? A
fucking finger toes, bro. That thing long.
Some other long shit on my body. Anyway.
Your nipples.
Yeah.
You do got them dog nipples, boy.
Peter, she milked your boobs.
You look like you put suction cups around him for 3 days.
I used to, someone told me once that they look like Hershey Kisses. And I'm so...
Bro, you do nipple curls with them.
So now I just be looking at women like, hey, you want to taste my Hershey Kiss?
Them motherfuckers talk to each other, bro.
His nipples got niceps.
Bitch has got bonkle.
Niceps and nice bonkle. God damn. And to make it worse, like, because my body hair just, like, goes and goes, like, I'll get these long-ass hairs around my nipples if I don't, like, keep my grooming up to date. So yeah, not only is it like big ass nipples, but it's like huge hairs attached to it.
And bro,
well,
like, you got
to
be careful. Like, if you nick that motherfucker, you're bleeding out.
I'm done.
You're done.
Your capillaries are fucking flowing.
Them motherfuckers are as big as your pinky toe.
I could cut my wrist and have a better chance of surviving.
Sideways for attention, long ways for results.
Cut that nipple any fucking direction and it's over.
Oh God, you nicked that bitch shaving, buddy. You better call a wambalance. Like, that's gonna you're gonna need some fucking medical attention.
Okay. Wham. The fuck is a wambalance?
Motherfucker gotta go up a shirt size to keep that bitch. I'm telling you.
Hey, there's some shirts I can't wear because they just poke through. I'm like, God damn, all right.
You have to cut like relief holes.
The pressure is getting worse.
The motherfuckers got their own OnlyFans.
Hey man, when it gets cold out and these motherfuckers get hard, watch out, because I put somebody's eye out with these fuckers.
Cheyenne makes fun of me because I have like insanely small nipples. I'm like, why do I need big? What am I using them for?
Nobody's
ever heard the phrase.
Ain't nobody sucking on my niceps.
Useless as tits on a boar hog.
Ain't nothing wrong with my nips.
Yeah.
My balls drag the ground and I got little nipples. What do you want me to do about it? Like, fuck. So I don't want to, you know, spend an hour on the boundaries thing because that's all we've talked about in the past couple episodes, but incredible album. I encourage anybody that hasn't checked them out yet, please go check them out. There was a guy that commented on our Facebook posts about that he couldn't get into boundaries, and brother, I'm going to drag you a little bit here. Appreciate you listening, but I'm going to drag you a little bit here. You look a little old. So I understand that it's not your cup of tea. I mean, if your favorite band is still Judas Priest, Boundaries is probably not going to be your cup of tea. So I get it. It's all good. But I can't show my dad Boundaries, be like, hey man, check this shit out. Not his cup of tea.
I think it depends, because if I showed like my dad Boundaries, I'm sure he would.
Yeah, but he would enjoy it. That's fair. What do you though?
Like Tony, like I'm sure Tony.
Oh, he'd eat that shit up.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
I don't think Tony's old enough to be our dad though.
No.
So.
Yeah, but Tony's just so into death metal.
Yeah.
Tony's old enough to be. I mean, he's.
How old is Tony?
He's about the same age as my dad.
He's very youthful, ain't he? He's a very youthful looking man. He's a very youthful looking man.
He's got a very nice beard.
He has a fantastic. You have a fantastic beard.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I have a fantastic beard. But no, I would never have guessed that if he is 50, that he looks 50. I'm 28 and look like I'm 38.
I think he's like a couple years younger than my dad.
My hair is running away from me faster than Usain Bolt.
Damn.
Yeah. It's going. I mean, it's like a Mike Trout home run, bro. Going. Yeah. Sending bitches. Yeah.
I turn 30 next Wednesday. And
my hair went yard.
Our whole band's fucking birthdays are within like a week.
Within about
fucking
a month.
Wild.
You got Scotty at the very beginning.
Shout out Scotty. Just got married. Huh?
Yeah.
Shout out Scotty.
Run!
Love you, bro. Yeah. Her or him?
Both. Fuck. Run opposite directions.
Yes. Go away.
But not in a circle. You don't want to...
Oh, that's great.
You don't want to circle back to that.
All y'all's birthdays close together, though?
Yeah, Scotty's at the very beginning. Yeah. Sean is like the...
Right after?
15th or something in there, and then...
Mine, then yours.
His, and then mine's the 1st.
Of May. That's right, yep. So speaking of the band, we haven't talked about it in a while, and it's a good way to close out the episode. What is new with Screaming Evidence right now? What is new and upcoming for Screaming Evidence right now?
Got a good show announcement that we're not able to announce. So there you go.
Can we talk about it after the show?
Yeah.
Because I don't even think I know about it.
Yep.
Okay.
So a few things. We talked on the show before a little bit how, we started incorporating using, you know, recording softwares and stuff to start changing the way that we write.
Speaking of that, real quick, not to push you off, but we are featuring new computer, new monitor, new recording software interface, all that, and a new camera. We are now in 4K and 60 frames per second. So, hey, we're moving up in the world.
You get to see my feet in 4K, that's bitches. Right.
Hey, caught in 4K. Continue.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Zen. Welcome to Zendiana.
So anyway, we over the last few months, we have incorporated that even in practices. We have everything mic'd up going through Pro Tools so that if we want to hit record, we just hit record, but we're doing all our monitoring through headphones so that we can get a more even mix for each person. So that's helped me tremendously on my end, just in practice, both for figuring out bass parts, making sure that the subtleties that I don't really hear in the practice room, I can actually hear while I have the headphones on, which is really improving. It's going to help improve what things sound like on my end when we go into the studio and record, because when we go in the studio and record and all I'm hearing is that bass, I've always felt like, man, there's maybe some spots that I can clean up that I thought I was good on, but because I couldn't hear it very well, I had no idea that it sounds a little sloppy, or maybe I should try this instead of this. And just being able to hear myself better evenly in the mix is great. And then vocally, my screams have gotten better just in the last few practices because I can hear myself in a way that I don't have to push so fucking hard trying to be loud. I don't have to try to be loud. I can focus on how the screams are really sounding, which that's kind of my end of things. But on, you know, an overall band aspect, you know, we've upgraded Pro Tools. We've upgraded the computer. We have softwares available to us now that some we had before just didn't work on the older computer. Some are new with the Pro Tools subscription. With all of that, the idea is that we're just going to experiment with recording until, at the very least, as things are right now, I can record, I can do all our tracking except for maybe the drums and just send it to someone to be mixed. Rather than paying $50 an hour, $30 an hour, whatever it is, to go to that studio and track, and for us to dick off trying to experiment with things, and then next thing you know, we're in there for 8 hours, and all we really got accomplished was a few guitar tracks, and then we started fucking with layers. We're able to do all of that in here, and
send it to each other to work on it our own.
Yep, you know, we've been doing that even with the old Pro Tools, but now with this, it's set up to a point where we can likely do everything ourselves.
Yep.
It's really just going to come down to, can I build up my skills in mixing to be able to get us the mix that we want? And that's just going to come with time.
Sure. Just like screams.
Yep.
Comes with practice.
Worst case scenario, we at least are able to play around as if we were in a studio, because this is the exact same software that all the producers we've gone to are using. The only difference with what I had before is it was a really old version. It was Pro Tools 11, and I didn't realize how out of fucking date that was until I got this.
Right. It looks prettier.
Oh, yeah. Everything about it is
it looks prettier.
Better. But, yeah, so that's something new. We've already seen some of the fruits of that labor with a couple of songs that have, you know, we've fucked around with and here, recorded a couple versions, and then, boom, we were able to separately work on lyrics and things like that. And within a couple of practices, we had the song finished.
Mm-hmm.
We're just in the process of practicing it to be able to playing it live. Especially for some of my scream parts and stuff, being able to do those screams and play the bass parts are a fucking bitch. But we're, you know, that's a song we've been playing for a year and a half, and we had tried putting lyrics to it before, but the way we did it was me sitting here playing it while Sean tried to write to it, and I was like, I'm not even the fucking guitarist, but Sean showed me so I could play some shit there, and what we had come up with wasn't that great. And so then we went back to the drawing board, and then we do this, and then within 2 weeks we got yep. lyrics.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We got vocal parts, we got layers. So that was, you know, a lot of cool things happening. I think we're gonna be able to put out music a lot faster, a lot more frequently. We've talked about changing the branding up a little bit. We keep getting the same remark about our logo from a lot of people where they think it looks kind of like the Steelers logo. So we're in talks with our graphic designer.
To be completely fair, I personally have never been a fan of it.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is just take the circle out of it and just let it be the diamonds.
Yeah. Love the wording, like the letterhead,
mm-hmm. the font.
Yeah. That's sweet. But I never really thought the Steelers. I just thought it was useless isn't the right term, but what does this apply to Screaming Evidence? It was kind of one of those things.
According to Sean, it's based off of a certain alchemy symbol.
I can't remember.
And something in relation to friendship or something.
Yeah, so he would
be able to explain it more in depth.
It's not like, you know, every band or a lot of bands, more the older ones anyways, like the Metallica M or the Ninja Star or Motley Crue's Pentagram or a certain band's font. Like every band I feel like has something that like that's them. Like you know what that is, Slayer's font. Everybody knows what that is when you see it.
And maybe if we were a popular band, then that would land more. Yeah.
I get that. So some new music, some new shows coming up, doing some bigger and better shit in-house, maybe a rebrand coming, lots of new things coming down the pipe. Sweet. Yep. Cool deal. Anything else, fellas?
Going to be working on some covers.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to add some more covers to the list.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. We've been playing the same covers for...
too long.
10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People like covers. And everybody plays them. No matter how big you are. A lot of
they're fun. If
the right ones are fun.
Yeah. They're fun.
They got to fit your style.
If you pick a song that you as the band really enjoy,
I swear to God, blast. We fucking play Send the Pain Below Again. I'm shooting myself.
Oh, that song's fun.
This song is terrible.
I love it.
I love the song, terrible. But playing it on the bass,
I hate it,
is the most boring thing in my life. It's just ride in the open.
Bong. Bong. Yeah. Bong, bong, bong.
Yeah. Don't think it's a good song. The Red is good.
We play that one.
Yep, I know you do. Then you play So Cold. There's a System of a Down song.
Aerials.
Yep. That one's probably fun.
Changing the House of Flies.
Yeah.
Aerials is boring to me.
Yeah, but it sounds good.
Yeah, so we got to agree, 100% agree on some of these, and you may hear some Incubus, you may hear some more Chevelle, you may hear like Moths of Flames.
We have talked about that. And by the way, unpopular opinion in this
unpopular
room.
Unpopular opinion.
So when Sean and I were talking about some covers and we were listening to a little bit of like Moths of Flames, I told him that that's like my favorite metalcore band. And he was like, well, yeah, they got nothing but jams. And I asked him about Polaris. I was like, these other guys, they think Polaris, they believe Polaris is their number one and is better than everyone else. And he agrees with me that like Moths of Flames is just one notch above.
He probably likes them vocally.
You guys have similar music tastes. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. I'm not going to... I can't bash somebody for... At least he's not saying that, like, Beartooth or somebody is better than Polaris.
He goes with the same thought as me with, you know, my reason for liking like Moths to Flame a little bit more than Polaris is just their songwriting is just so beautiful.
Yeah, they're so great. I love Moths. So that's not one that I'd argue too hard. But you just wanted to. I just wanted to throw that in.
Well, Sean doesn't like your modern metalcore type riffing either. That's never been his cup of tea.
No.
And that's not what Moths does.
Right.
Yeah, agreed.
You don't hear a 5-7-8 version of a riff from Moths.
No. Which, but you don't with Polaris either.
Not exactly, but in a different way.
Just a little more chuggy.
Yeah.
In some parts, especially on like Fatalism.
Yeah.
But anyways, again, the next episode that we drop is going to be a special one, so make sure you guys stick around for that. We'll keep you updated on all our socials and all that. I really think that this new format that we're doing is working. Our downloads and listens and all that are way, way, way up. And we're in so many new places. Our last episode, I swear, if I recall correctly, had like 6 or 7 new states. We're almost across all 50 states. 2 new countries. So thank you so much to all of the returning listeners. Thank you so much to all of our new listeners. We hope you guys are enjoying the show. And as always, please leave us a like, a review, a comment. Tell us we're stupid. I don't care. Any reaction is a good reaction to us. So thank you guys so much for tuning in every time we put something out for y'all. And stay tuned for the next one. It's going to be a special one. You guys will enjoy it. So thank you all so much for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. And until next time, we are the Screaming Idiots. We'll see you on the next one.
Peace, love, dove.